Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Names.
You will never see a team like this again.
The biggest game.
This game.
What a game.
Magnificent. Unbelievable.
Game on.
Getting a head start on the weekend.
Rugby league. That's what we
do. For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Thursday night footy.
Ah, yes, indeed. One of the great weekends. The Anzac Day game weekend begins tonight here at Penrith Stadium, Bluebet Stadium. The Panthers and the Newcastle Knights on the most beautiful Thursday night. Little chilly, but nothing like it can be in these parts here in Rugby League heartland. And maybe it'll cool down a little as the night goes on. There's the whiff of back burning in the air, so there's nice burning. This is your home. It's great to be in your territory, MG. Hello to you.
Welcome, Dan. Welcome, Gerds. Welcome, listeners. This is going to be a look, I think it's going to be a good contest tonight. We saw, obviously, Newcastle bounce back last week against the Sharkies on the back of Kalen Ponga. And every time I've seen Kalen Ponga play here, whether it be with a down to 20s for North Queensland or the Knights, he seems to have a good game here at Penrith Park, or now Bluebet Stadium. On the other hand, Penrith, well, their record just keeps going and going and going. They can't get beaten here at home, and I believe they're even strengthened tonight with a couple of ins.
I was there today, Gerds, at Penrith Leagues and Penrith Lit. They've got all these placards on the board in the reception. There's Mark Guy's name everywhere, and your name, Panthers legend as well. Both of you in the original team of legends. Must be nice to come back. I mean, I know now you're a Northern Beaches man, but it must be nice to come back here.
Especially with that smell of iron bark.
Oh, it feels,
I mean, how good is it? You spoke about it. Yeah, it's always really nice to come back here. I consider it, you know, I've had a lot of different places where I've lived in sort of my life. I've been in, you know, Sydney for a while. I've been down in Wollongong. Penrith's also another place that I consider home, and I always love coming back out here and hanging out with the people, and I've got a lot of good friends out here and a lot of good memories, so it's a nice place to be, and lots of good memories come back when we come here.
And I believe you sampled some of the finest today on Mulgrave Road, the drum and golf.
MG, I was going to wait 15 minutes before getting the sneaky
straight into a bucket.
No, Rod was a champion. I went to the fight last night, right, the Gallon fight. And what a great night. I tell you, the promoter, I don't know him well, Matt Rose.
Matty Rose puts on a good show, doesn't he?
He puts on a hell of a night.
That's George's brother, is it, Matt?
Yeah, it's George. George was there.
Yep.
Because I've been to a lot of the Mundine fights over the years, right? And the problem I had with the Mundine fights was, firstly, Mundine wouldn't appear till 11:30, 12 o'clock, and then you'd have all these garbage undercard fights where it was first round knockout. So you'd have these big gaps of nothing because they couldn't go too early for the main event. Well, the undercard last night was sensational.
Yeah.
There's a guy, MG, what's his name? Lenny Zappavigna.
Yeah, Lenny Zappa.
He's going to be a champion.
He's had a few years out too.
Yeah, he is a gun. But anyway, it was a great...
He called out Jeff Horn.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah,
good for him.
He called out Jeff
Horn. Well, he needs a big name. And you know, the only thing they were drinking, Gerds, I was on the beers, the Iron Jack, but...
CC and dry?
It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, it's popular.
It's a great drink.
They were the only two drinks available. The fridges were empty by the end of the night. The CC and dry fridges... Now, I know they're a sponsor, but I couldn't believe... this has caught on like wildfire.
Oh, yeah.
So, if you're over... we'll do that out a little bit later, but you mentioned it, MG. So, I thought, well, am I going to go back home? No, I'll drive to Penrith from Wollongong, because stayed overnight.
Mm.
Buddy, tell you what, it takes just as long to get to Penrith as it would to go to Sydney. It's a beautiful drive.
M5, yeah.
So, I thought, what am I going to do? I'll tell you what, I've got the golf clubs in the boot. I'm going to find a driving range. Well, I typed it in, bing, bing, boom. And here's this thing called Big Swing Golf. All right, that sounds like a driving range to me.
Yeah.
And it's an indoor place. It's Drummond Golf, and it's got the golf simulator there, right? And anytime you walk into a golf store, and many of you would never have been at a golf store, but if you go into a golf store, you see the golf simulator, and that's there. I always thought so you can test out the new clubs.
Yeah, sized up for your clubs and stuff like that.
Yeah. But no, they actually use it as well as that, as you can just go along. And it balls for half an hour.
Unbelievable,
And it measures all your shots, and you've got all these mock golf courses. So Rod, he looked after me today. But I'll tell you, it's $35 for an hour.
If you
I mean, that's you can hit 150 balls in an hour. Yeah.
A little bit different concept of the big swing club me and MG used to go to. We'll spend the time out of Dan, but hey, whatever tickles your fancy.
I would have lost a bet there because I would have sworn MG was going to be the one to jump on big swing golf, but no, it was you. Yes. You filthy mind. Don't worry, I thought the same thing too. But anyway,
swing.
It's been a good day. Now, MG, we will get to the footy and there's a lot of stories.
Yes. That's my birthday. My daughter's birthday today.
Happy. Which one?
Kennedy.
Hey, 22 today.
You're kidding.
22.
She your youngest?
No, she's my middle.
No, he's got 20, like an 80-year-old.
I've got 26, 24, 22, and 20, and 13.
And 13, yeah.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. But I was going to say this. Your people are treating me very well today, MG, but what's doing at Penrith Leagues? I go there, I have a nice roast lamb for lunch, and then I say, can I have a Coke Zero? $6.10.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a corner, I'm happy to lose my money in the Monopoly machine.
It's a
right?
corner That's market. It's a captured market.
$6.10. Yeah. I thought I was at Girdler's Grind for a second.
Did you show your membership card beforehand? No. You would have got a discount if you showed your membership card.
Come on, Dan, we don't sell Coke.
Anyway, so come on, you're the king of Penrith.
What's a Monopoly machine anyway, Dan?
It's a poker machine. I'm not endorsing that, okay. But I mean, I gave Penrith my money. I was happy to do it, but not... Yep. $6.10 for a Coke Zero.
Okay.
Anyway, let's get the self-indulgence out of the way.
Yeah, that's done.
Let's get to this game tonight, and there's a big in Girds. Dylan Edwards is back.
Yeah.
No RP Corris there. There was a suggestion both, but it's still a good in Dylan Edwards. So that means Stephen Crichton goes back to his preferred position, and that means no Paul Momorowski. The Knights 1-17.
Well, that's timely, isn't it? Because Momorowski is obviously suspended. The question that needs to be asked, and it's a big one, is both of these guys that are playing in the centres tonight, Burton and Crichton, have been playing on the left. Momorowski's been the right centre. Now, on the left side for Newcastle tonight's Young Best. So he's going to be a handful. He's one of the dangers for the Knights at Penrith need to make sure that they shut down. So who goes over to that side? You would have to imagine it's going to be Burton.
I would say defensively, I would put Burton there.
Yep.
On Best.
And bring Crichton back into the side that he spent the most of last year.
Yep.
But that's a decision that needs to be made. But, yeah, it's really good to see Dylan back in the game. He's a really important part of this Penrith side, not only for what he does on the field, I think in around training as well. And they were just a little flat last week, the Panthers. So he's a guy that'll bring lots of energy, and he's a guy that the team gets excited to play with. So he's a good in.
We're at this point of the season, gents, where Penrith have established themselves again as, a real force of this competition. Do you expect that there may be a lull at some point? It's impossible.
It's got to be.
It is impossible to go 6 months. They did it last year, all except for the main event, but they went through the whole regular season, essentially. Redlining, to use that term, which seems to be popular these days. Can they? Are we expecting that maybe at some point they're going to, even if they win games like last week, they're just going to have a rough month somewhere?
I think you saw the start of it last week against the Broncos. So I know the Broncos up their ante a lot. All credit's got to be given to them. But these guys, they're the youngest team in the competition. Out of that 17 last weekend, then 13 of them started their careers here at Penrith. So they've got a big presence of local juniors. And I think it's inevitable that they're going to find some little, hallowed ground where they start to say, okay, well, this is not they won't say it, but I think subconsciously to be up as much as they are. But then someone like tonight when Dylan Edwards comes back and then Appy Coruscant comes back. And so they've got this so much depth. When you've got Sorensen and Jamin Salmon and these guys, Robert Jennings, who all come to the club this year, all playing in this game we just watched here. And by the way, the Penrith won 19-16 over the Knights in Canterbury Cup. But they've got every one of their recruits. Eisen, who's playing off the bench. The four recruits this year, three of them are playing Canterbury Cup. One of them is on the bench. So their abundance of youth and exuberance is plentiful. But I don't think that at the moment they're in that zone of saying... I don't think they know how to stop because they're so fit and so young. And last year, don't forget, they were locked in COVID, and I think that was the best thing a young team could go through together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that they've got enough players, Dan, that on their day can win footy games without the help of, the whole 17. And I think we saw that last week. There was a few guys. The Broncos made that game personal last week and probably for the first time in a while won the battle against Penrith in the middle of the field. You saw Pangai Jr. take out, basically kick out had minimal impact in that game. You saw Lodge get into the front rows in Fisher-Harris. He didn't have a big impact in that game. Penrith just battled their way through. They were brave and resilient, but it took, you know, the brilliance of Nathan Cleary basically to get them out of that contest and with the 2 points. Now, if it's not Nathan Cleary, sometimes you see it's Jerome Luai. You've seen Dillard Edwards coming back now. You've got sometimes Appy Coruscant, you know, can make those big plays. And then the two guys that I spoke about that weren't at their best last week can often just come out and be the difference as well. You've got Crichton going back into the centres. They've got young Burton. They've got guys that, you know, they don't need to. There's some teams in the competition that need to have their best 17 playing their best every week to win footy games. Penrith aren't one of them.
No. And it's now, what, 23 of their last 24 they've won? Have I got that right?
Yeah.
So outrageous. Lots to get through as we get you ready for the Panthers and the Knights here on Triple M.
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
Getting you ready for Thursday night football on this wonderful round. And here come the Knights going through their warm-up. Kalyn Ponga doesn't look hampered like he was last week with that stomach bug.
That's bad, isn't it? That's nothing worse than that.
So it's funny how it only got him at half-time, though. It was only after half-time that he really was in a fair bit of trouble, but obviously didn't affect his play. MG, Ryan Girdler, Dan Ganane. Emma Lawrence is with us too tonight, and she'll bring us a couple of interviews shortly. So the Knights are out there, the Panthers coming out shortly. Big news during the week. Yes, MG?
Well, just you know how Michael Jordan had his spew game?
Yes.
Well, Kalyn Ponga's calling his... Last week, the poo game.
That's such a rugby league.
That's such a Kalyn Ponga. Cool cat.
Were they wearing what? So they're wearing white tonight.
Yeah, well, that's not. Last week was blue.
Yeah, thank goodness. So,
thank God.
Yeah. Thank goodness. Wasn't there a player who famously did that?
I remember once having a...
Was it a former Canterbury prop that may have played for New South Wales and Australia?
I remember in lower grades for Penrith, one of the referees I had back then was, he had boils on his bum. And he had white shorts on. And they must have burst.
Oh, jeez.
What were those things that sports people used to wear as underwear?
Jocks.
Jock straps.
Jock straps.
Yeah, so they...
What was that? How did they work?
I understood that.
So you could hit the wheels.
So it was like...
Helps. It doesn't... Yeah, it's kind of... All the old players used to wear them. Olden day players.
Jock strap, yeah. But there was no bum in the jock strap, yeah? Was it just a strap coming?
Yes.
There was a bum in there.
No bum. No, just strictly for the front.
I'm going to have to get myself a set.
Just went to the shop.
Where do you get them from? Did you get them online, Dan? You know, you get everything offline.
Hey, what are you talking? I stopped listening 30 seconds ago. Yeah. Okay. I know I peed you off with my girdler's grind comment. Why don't you have one out here? Give the people some class. They've got some very nice cafes here, but they've got nothing like a girdler's grind.
I was out here a couple of weeks ago having a look around, Dan. I'd love to get one out here at some point. That's the plan.
What about part of Penrith Leagues? You know, like they're extending there. And
yeah, that's...
That's a destination.
Yeah, there's some new developments going up all over the place out here, so hopefully there's some opportunity there soon at some point, Dan. I'd love to come out here and... one up.
There's I was just in the Westfield before. That's a good little... That's a good Westfield.
It is.
Anyway, we'll save that discussion for off air.
Yeah.
The Souths have any points in their complaints, MG, regarding the judiciary system and the fact they are filthy that Latrell Mitchell copped 4 weeks?
Consistency-wise, yes. When you look at all the incidents that have happened this year, and a lot of them have been unpunished, not even a penalty. And I suppose... Yeah, look, Latrell's under the microscope a lot more than other players, you've got to admit as well. And I think it was a kind of a combination of the Luke Garner thing that happened twice, and then, on the face value of it, I don't think the hit on Mofaluma deserved 4 weeks. I think it deserved the suspension, but I think with the carryover points, that's where it really hits him. And that's where I've got the issue, I think. I've got no issue about if you're a repeat offender that you get... And like I was in my career, that when I come before the judiciary, that, oh, here he is again. So let's make an example of this bloke, because he doesn't seem to be getting the picture.
Well, Hetherington got 5 weeks. I think he would have only got 3 if he wasn't a repeat offender.
And but some guys, we find out that they've got, you know, loading and carryover points from 6 to 8 months ago. And that's unfair, I think. I think matters should be, you know, we see through this round, then we saw Radley who escaped, and I think that's rightly so. Momorowski, he got 3 weeks, but he was going for 2, and Latrell got 4. So three very... To answer your question, if Wayne Bennett comes out like he does, and he doesn't come out that often in defence of players, but when he comes out so passionately, I think we've got to take note. because he is one of the leading figures of our game who, yeah, sure, he's one of his favourite players.
I was going to bring this up.
And he's got a vested interest in his own team. I know that. But I think most people who don't follow South would have seen that and said, oh, you know what, I'm glad that happened to him and not us.
He brought up this is the thing that struck me, Gerds, is that Latrell has come out. He said he was on Matty John's show. He's done interviews where he says, I need a cuddle. And Wayne Bennett has gone out of his way to wrap his arm around Latrell for the last few months. Went up to Taree with him, you know, last week. Like there's a real bond there.
Yeah.
So did you think the South Sydney stance was related to actually rallying against the judiciary system that might be broken, or just about saying, hey, Latrell,
oh, they're caring for their player. I mean, they're caring for their player, Dan. But the fact that one of the best players in the game is about to miss 4 weeks out of the competition and cannot win the game's most honourable award means the system isn't working. You can look at it any way you like, and you can go through the carryover points, and you can go through the way the match review committee and how they rate things and the scale. You can do whatever you like, but the fact that we find ourselves in a situation where one of the best players in our game misses 4 weeks for what happened on the weekend against the Tigers tells me that something needs to change.
And particularly when you consider Radley gets it down.
It makes no sense.
He's also guilty.
That makes no sense.
But gets $1,900. They do seem to be extremes.
And South, you know, they obviously put that case together to identify the inconsistencies. And when you have a look at some of the things that have been overlooked over this year and last year compared to what Latrell did, it doesn't make any sense, Dan.
And what did Latrell in, as you're alluding to, MG, were carryovers.
Yep.
They were from round 9 last year. At the end of a season, right, if you commit a crime 2-3 times in a year, okay, we're going to punish you for that. But you know what? At the end of a season, we wipe the slate clean.
I'm happy with that.
I think we might have to look at something like that. Because it does seem strange that something...
That's the system we work in.
But it does seem...
And getting punished, Dan, and the other thing is getting punished for challenging something that you don't think right is also something I think they need to look at. Just because you challenge the grading, all of a sudden, what does that mean, that the match review committee can't get it wrong?
But they're incentivising you. They don't want judiciary hearing, to save money. I think it's more about consistency, and they don't want the controversy. So the less judiciary hearings...
If you feel unjust by the punishment that's been handed to you, of course you're going to go and fight it.
But that's the system they've created.
But you shouldn't be
punished. Their dream scenario is to have a charge sheet and have everyone say guilty early ploy. That's the dream.
Then they need to get that charge sheet right.
And maybe give dispensation, like in the court of law, where if you plead guilty, you get rewards for that.
Mm.
You get something taken off the top.
But that's what they're saying. See, we look at it as 2 weeks, but if you're found guilty, you get 3. They would prefer us to look at it as, well, it's a 3-week charge.
But if you plead guilty,
you get 2. So we're actually doing you a favour. But we don't look at it like that.
The other thing, Dan, is the inconsistency around the referees. Now, they made a decision to give Victor Radley 10 minutes. And I'm sure they took that sanction into consideration.
Well, Latrell should have got 10.
If he gets 10 minutes, well, then maybe the guy only misses 1 week and all the hoo-ha's finished.
There's the big problem in our game. I think we don't use that enough. I don't think we use the sin bin enough in our game. I think Paul Kent said it the other night on NRL 360, and I agreed 100%, that with these melees we're getting these days of guys grabbing jerseys and throwing blokes around by jerseys and running in, the third bloke in, he's the one who gets simbin. And then every person who's in that skirmish, in that scuffle, every one of them gets a 2 grand fine. That'll quickly stop them from running in from 20 metres out and grabbing jerseys. And I really think something like that could be implemented in the game. And the 5-minute simbin. 5-minute simbin. All you 4 blokes who were involved in that scuffle, 5 minutes. Off you go.
The thing that's annoying about...
But no one left.
The Latrell.
There's no one left on the field.
Well, I think twice before running 30 metres to grab a jersey.
Yeah.
I think the fine thing is a good thing. And maybe the third man in, if they can identify that. But, gee, that's hard to... You know, it's hard to track that vision and then see who's the third, the fourth, and where is it.
To stop too. Very hard to stop yourself when you're in the heat of battle. We've been there. Very hard not to grab a bloke's jersey and go, get away. Like, it's hard to do. Harder for me than it would be you.
But I didn't have too many problems with it.
But that's the thing, but like, I just don't... that I think the penalty thing here against the Raiders kind of escalated it when, you know, everyone would run in and the physio got fined 10 grand from Canberra. And,
yeah.
But that's yeah. Obviously, there's a body in this game, and they've been doing a fantastic job through COVID and everything, but now we've hit the other side of the horizon. The game has been hit with a few different type of rulings, and they've brought in new interpretations of stuff as well. And there's got, and I don't think we're ever going to see consistency in that, because we don't see consistency in our players majority of the time.
Yeah, just a final point on Latrell. When you saw the incident on the replay, everyone knew he was going to get suspended for that.
Yes.
So how is that not a... How does the video ref not look... Because a try had happened, or there was something major had happened, because we only looked at it at a replay sort of off once he was put on report, because there was other action going on. But once you saw that arm raised, you knew he's going to get suspended for something, whether it's a week or two. So how is that not 10 in the bin, straight away?
Straight away. And I was here for the Penrith-Canberra game, and I saw Billy Kickow do a tackle like that, similar on Nicol Clockster.
Mm.
He's not back playing yet.
Yeah.
And didn't get penalised.
Did we take that into consideration, though? Because, you know, obviously, Norfolumba just jumped back up and was, you know, behind the try line there when they scored the try. So is that taken into consideration?
I think it must be.
Yeah. And if that's the case, and Latrell is then penalised on the game in the moment, then the beneficiary of that decision is then the West Tigers.
Who would it should be? Because they're the team wrong.
Exactly right.
All right. We should run the game. Let's take a break. What would be your first rule as NRL commissioner, MG?
To give the commissioner more money.
We do it for Canadian Club. Triple M, rocking your Thursday night footy. It's Penrith and Newcastle. More after this.
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
Yeah, wonderful crowd piling in here at Penrith Stadium. There's plenty going on, actually. You've got the trots across the road, MG. You ever get to the trots?
Love the trots. Yeah, Thursdays. Usually when if I've got holidays or something on, I'll go to the trots on a night. And one of my mates, Gav Monday, has got a few trotters. But it is on tonight's crowd, Dan. Ticket allocation exhausted, which means 15,000 tickets were on sale, and the 15,000 got snapped up.
Oh, are we still at 75%? That would indicate 75%.
Yes.
I thought we were at 100 now.
I did too. But I think Penrith might have got in a little bit of trouble for the Canberra game when it was capacity, so they just went back to the...
I've got a sense, MG, and I'm only sort of tossing this up. I think the hill's a problem.
Yep.
In that you can't control how close people are. But then you look at the grandstand and the people are sitting next to it, and there's not 1.5 metres of... I don't get it. But anyway...
Well, the ticket allocation exhausted for the game. The hills are at 75%.
Okay.
So there'll be 15,000. Darren from Panthers have just texted me through that.
Well, good on you, Darren. But, I mean, I don't understand why you'd have that when the people in the seats are not 1.5 metres away. Either we're in COVID... anyway.
Yeah,
come on, Dan.
Anyway, it's going to be a good...
None of it's made any sense the whole time.
It's been arbitrary. That's
very good word.
All right, so we've got this game coming up. Now the Panthers are out there warming up. One man who won't be there, but he'll be back soon, is with you, Emma Lawrence. Hello to you, Em.
Hello, Dan. Yeah, I've got Appy Corris out with me. Appy, thanks so much for your time. How close were you to playing tonight?
Yeah, I was actually pretty much going to play until I got sick a couple of days ago, which stopped me from getting enough work done.
Unfortunate, but next week then, we can expect you back?
Yeah, definitely. I think next week's to go for sure. Yeah, ready to go.
Dylan, what a boost does he bring there at fullback?
Yeah, he's massive. You know, just a true fullback, you know, really brings together our team, and his kick returns are amazing. So I think he's a huge boost for us.
And then obviously Crichton goes back to the centres. But what about Matt Burton? I mean, he's never played there before. He's put on some big hits. He's, you know, hitting the holes. It's like he's a natural centre, isn't he?
I think he's just a natural footballer in general. He just loves being out there. Great bunch of boys. And I think he might even be close to his mate on the wing there, Stainsy. So it could be a good one for him tonight as well.
Now, Brandon Smith was saying a couple of days ago, he's been sending clips of you to TJ Perenara. That's pretty cool to hear.
Yeah, I was a bit blown away, to be honest. It was pretty cool that someone like that was, referring me or even like asked about it. So, yeah, took a lot out of that. It was awesome. But, I'd like to see him in the NRL, that's for sure.
Have you spoken to TJ personally at all?
No, never. He's probably a bit out of my league. Obviously, he's All Black. You know, he's pretty up there. But, I'd love to meet him, that's for sure.
pretty cool indeed. Now, you guys are on an incredible hot streak. It's going to take a lot for the Knights to get the job done. What's been the focus this week from Ivan?
Yeah, I think you know, Newcastle obviously have a great forward pack. You know, they really dominated last week, and, you know, obviously the backs are really good. So I think our front door is going to have to be on point, so that middle is going to have to hold together, I think.
Right, Appy, appreciate your time. Can't wait to see you back, and good luck to Penny Panthers.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Em. Thank you, Appy. So their next game is Saturday against Manly. Have I got this right?
At Bathurst. Yeah, Carrington Park.
All right, so that's a Penrith home game, so that will almost certainly be the return of Arpi Coruscant and TJ Perenara, of course, the All Black fly half, who could be coming to the Roosters as a hooker. We haven't heard anything on that, have we, the last week or so? So I think the Roosters were a bit cranky that that story got out, I think they intimated it came from TJ's people. I don't think it's going to stop the deal, but yeah. I just got a sense that they like to control the story and they don't like it when it gets out without their...
Control the narrative is the new phrase.
Oh, log, OMG.
Control the narrative.
So beautiful. Let's take a break as we get you ready for the Panthers and the Knights. I'm told it's a full Anzac pre-game here, so we've got this for every game this weekend where we'll have the last post, and then, in fact, the flags are out there in the middle of the field. What did you quickly notice, Gerds, before we go to the break?
Oh, just Penrith are going through their warm-up at the moment, and you will see that Burton will stay on the left with Luai and Kickow, and Crichton's been moved over to the right to partner Charlie Staines out there. So that'll be an interesting lineup this afternoon because he'll be coming up against Young Best.
Mm.
So Crichton v Best is going to be a good one.
All right, we'll look forward to that. Triple M rocking your Thursday night footy.
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M rocks footy.
Yeah, countdown on here, not far away from kickoff between the Panthers and the Newcastle Knights from Bluebet Stadium. The last time they met, it was a wonderful game all the way back in round three last year, the first round of the COVID resumption. Penrith led 14-0. It was one of probably Newcastle's best performance of the year, MG, if you remember. They had players injured galore. I think Tex Hoy made his debut.
Yep.
Brody Jones made his debut. They played 80 minutes and or 90 minutes because they ended up being a 14-all draw.
That's right.
Then
a couple of weeks later, I think Penrith only had their first loss of the season. That was to Parramatta.
That's it. And then didn't lose in the regular season since. So it's been a long time since these two sides have met. Newcastle coming off a win over Cronulla. At the death, 26-22. They have three wins this year, three losses. Penrith, of course, undefeated, 6-0. How did you feel, Gerds, when Arsenal went to the Super League?
Oh, it didn't last long. I probably didn't look into it as much as I should have originally, but I'm glad that, you know, the English sides have pulled out of it. But I think it was more about just coming up with an alternative than the Champions League.
There was never going to be a Super League, was there?
No.
Leverage, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know, but I was worried, obviously, about the domestic league, and that would have affected in a certain way. But anyway, I'm glad they're not going ahead, and it's...
Was Arsenal the first one to pull out? No, I think Chelsea more. Anyway,
I can't remember. Anyway. I wasn't all across it.
I think West Ham were...
All right, so who's your... what did you say?
West Ham. The Hammers were the first to say, no, not on my watch, John Snow.
But they would have got into the Champions League. Yeah, all the good teams got booted.
They could have won the comp this year.
How are they going, West Ham? Aren't they going all right? Yeah, they're having a good year.
They're more Leicester.
You know what? West Ham have a lot of Australian followers.
Yes.
I don't know why.
I'll tell you why I follow them. 1973 was the first time I was allowed to watch an FA Cup final. And Pat Jennings was their goalkeeper, and I stayed up. And they won, and that was when I started. I was 6 years of age.
Was that would have been? I got a feeling the ABC did the FA Cup before SBS did it for a long
ABC,
time.
ABC, baby.
All right, so we're gonna have, as I said, we're gonna have the full Anzac commemoration before the start of this game. So we're still a few minutes away from kickoff. The rest of the round's pretty good. Gold Coast South, that's a beauty, MG. Tomorrow, you'll be calling that, you two with Maroon. That is the Friday 6B game. But think about that game because you've got a very special guest, Emma Lawrence.
I certainly do. Paul Gallen, how are you feeling? I imagine it would have been a big night. A few drinks celebrating?
Yeah, well, it was a big night. I haven't had a drink for a long time, so I did enjoy myself last night. I actually just checked my Instagram account and Dan Ganane won a fair bit of money on me, I saw. So
did you?
Thanks for that. So I'll have to get a drink off you one day, Dan, that's for sure.
Yeah, but, I said I would.
Yeah, no, you did say that. You said you'll shout for coffee next. But no, look, I feel good. It's a whole lot nicer to come out here tonight with a win and obviously not too many bruises or feeling too sore. I've got a headache for a few too many drinks, not because I was punching the head too many times.
Hey, Gal, Gertie, mate, congratulations. Were you a little bit surprised? I mean, mate, anyone that knows you knows how you prepare for a fight, knows how you take things seriously. You only need to look at your career in the NRL. Were you a little bit surprised at maybe a little bit of the contempt that he might have taken into the fight?
No, I wasn't surprised. I knew that he thought he was just going to walk through me. That's the reason he took the fight. You know, he's had other big fights offered to him in Australia and he hasn't taken them. Look, he's after the payday now and I knew that's why he thought he was just going to walk through me. I really did feel that, but I prepared really well and I suppose it's easy to say now I knew I was going to knock him out, but I did really think to myself all day yesterday, I'm going to beat him in the first round. I don't know why I thought it. I didn't think I had the power to do that normally, but I just had enormous confidence in what I'd done and I just said to myself, well, I'm going to knock him out in the first round, and it happened. And I know it's easy to say now because let me tell you, I was still really, really scared before the fight. I had a lot of fears and all the emotions weren't that normally there were there, but obviously now I'm really relieved.
Which was the best shot? Did you feel the best shot that got him?
Yeah, I think I got him. I got him in the ear.
The overhead.
Yeah. And I worked on that punch. Me and Graham Shaw worked on that for about 5 or 6 weeks. And he actually came in the change about the end of it. And he said that's the one that wrecked him because he said he still couldn't hear out of his ear. And it just knocked all his balance out, his equilibrium, and that was gone. So he couldn't hear out of it. And as I said, he just wasn't able to balance. And when I seen the replay, he was wobbling all over the place.
That is a great venue down there. And I reckon maybe 70% of the crowd is with him, 30% with you. That wouldn't have bothered you. But when they sense a knockout, they're 100% with the guy who is about to deliver the knockout. The noise they made was incredible. What is the exhilaration like at the end of a fight as compared to the exhilaration at the end of a big game when you've just won?
Oh, you know what? They're both very similar, to be honest. You train so hard to try and get that result. So I've got to say they are similar, but obviously with boxing, it's more individual. So it's, I suppose, a little bit more sense of achievement there on your own because you haven't had to rely on anyone else and you know how hard you've trained to get to the point you're at to get that win. So, mate, I'm not going to say it's better than rugby league because, no, rugby league was my chosen sport and the sport that I love. And, you know, winning premierships and playing for my country and for New South Wales will always be the highlight of my sporting career. But I'm enjoying what I'm doing at the moment.
Tell us about your trainer, Gal Shorey. He's a ex-Dean Gill trainer. He's a beautiful man. Tell us how much influence he's had on your boxing career.
Yeah, he's had a huge influence. I've been with him for all but one fight. So he's just really simple and wants to get the basics right. And, you know, the more boxing I do, the crapper I know I am because it's just there's so much to it. Like, people don't understand the footwork involved and the way you got to turn your hips into punches and just use your whole body rather than just using your arm. And every time I train with him, he teaches me that every single day. So he's been fantastic for me. And I can't thank him enough. He came up with that plan to use that overhand right on Lucas last night. And as I said, we dead set trained for 5 or 6 weeks, go the body, then overhand with the right. And, you know, it worked.
All right, we better let you go. You got to work for 9 and we got to call a game here.
Thanks to McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.